spoke to me. He was my dad, but he loved me. And then? Said Dandy, impatient. I woke up, I said. That was all. Didn't you see the house, or your clothes, or the food? She asked, disappointed. No, I said. Not this time. No, she said, and was silent a moment. I wish I could dream of it like you do, she said longingly. Tain't fair. A warning grunt from the bed made us lower our voices again. I wish I could see it, she said. You will, I promised. It is a real place. It is real somewhere. I know that somewhere it is a real place, and we will both be there, someday. Wide, she said. It's a funny name. That's not the whole name, I said cautiously. Not quite Wide. Maybe it's something Wide. I never hear it clear enough. I listen, but I'm never quite sure of it. But it's a real place. It is real somewhere. And it's where I belong. I lay on my back and looked at the stains on the sacking roof of the caravan and smelled the stink of four people sleeping close with no windows open. The acid smell of stale urine from last night's pot. It's real somewhere, I said to myself. It has to be. There were three good things in my life. That dirty, painful life of a gypsy child with a father who cared nothing for her and a stepmother who cared less. There was Dandy, my twin sister, as unlike me as if I were a changeling. There were the horses we trained and sold. And there was the dream of Wide. If it had not been for Dandy, I think I would have run away as soon as I was old enough to leave. I would have upped and gone, run off to one of the sleepy little villages in the New Forest in that hot summer of 1805 when I was 15. That was the summer I turned on Da and stood up to him for the first time ever. We had been breaking a pony to sell as a lady's ride. I said the horse was not ready for a rider. Da swore she was. He was wrong. Anyone but an idiot could have seen that the horse was nervy and half wild. But Da had put her on the lunge rein two or three times, and she had gone well enough. He wanted to put me up on her. He didn't waste his breath asking Dandy to do it. She would have smiled one of her sweet, slow smiles and disappeared off for the rest of the day with a hunk of bread and a rind of cheese in her pocket. She'd come back in the evening with a dead chicken tucked in her shawl, so there was never a beating for Dandy. But he ordered me up on the animal. A half-wild, half-foolish foal, too young to be broke, too frightened to be ridden. She's not ready, I said, looking at the flaring nostrils and the rolling whites of her eyes and smelling that special acrid smell of fearful sweat. She'll do, Da said. Get up on her. I looked at Da, not at the horse. Da's dark eyes were red-rimmed, the stubble on his chin stained his face blue. The red kerchief at his neck showed bright against his pallor. He had been drinking last night, and I guessed he felt ill. He had no patience to stand in the midday sunshine with a skittish pony on a lunge rein. I'll lunge her, I offered. I'll train her for you. You ride her, you cheeky dog, he said to me harshly. No whelp tells me how to train a horse. What's the hurry? I asked, backing out of arm's reach. Da had to hold the horse and could not grab me. I got a buyer, he said. A farmer at Bewley wants her for his daughter, but he wants her next week for her birthday or summat, so she's got to be ready for then.
I'll lunge her, I offered again. I'll work her all day, and tomorrow or the day after, I'll get up on her.
You get up now, he said harshly.
Then he raised his voice and yelled,
Zima!
And my stepmother came out into the sunshine from the gloomy caravan.
Hold her,
he said, nodding at the horse, and she jumped down from the caravan step and went past me without a word.
I want summit inside the wagon, he said under his breath,
and I stood aside like a fool to let him go past me. But as soon as he was near, he grabbed me with one hard, grimy hand and twisted my arm behind my back so hard that I could hear the bone creak, and I squeaked between clenched teeth for the pain.
Get up on her, he said softly in my ear, his breath foul, or I'll beat you till you can't ride her, nor any other for a week.
I jerked away from him, sullen, ineffective, and I scowled at my stepmother, who stood picking her teeth.